Hi, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor of Lab Medicine magazine. Today, I have with me Dr. Jeffrey Wohl. He is going to talk about the new anticoagulants. Hi, Dr. Wohl.
Thanks, Kelly. So, hello, everyone. My name is Jeff Wohl, and I'll be discussing several new oral anticoagulants that are now being used in the clinics and in the hospitals, and how clinical laboratories can try to deal with those requests for monitoring. So, just to let everyone know, this discussion is based on and a little bit borrowed from a couple of reviews and a commentary that were recently published in the November 2013 issue of American Journal of Clinical Pathology. And just for disclosure purposes, I'm an author of one of those reviews. So patients with systemic hypercoagulability or site-specific hypercoagulability, such as patients with atrial fibrillation, require therapeutic anticoagulation to prevent thromboembolic disease, such as deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, or a stroke, among other potential thromboembolic events. For those patients who need long-term anticoagulation, obviously an oral agent provides the most ease of use. And so, however, we all know that warfarin, which is up until a couple of years ago the sole available oral anticoagulant in the U.S. market, it requires frequent monitoring by prothrombin times, INR, and very difficult to achieve a dose that's stable and therapeutic. These new oral anticoagulants, which are, I'll use their generic names, dabigatran, rivaroxaban, and apixaban, dabigatran being a direct thrombin inhibitor and rivaroxaban and apixaban being factor 10 inhibitors. They were developed and approved for use without the need for routine laboratory monitoring. So people had realized what a pain warfarin was, and the goal in designing these medications was to have a drug that was you could easily dose to achieve a stable therapeutic level without frequent lab monitoring. So, you know, and these have been proven in trials to be as safe and as efficacious as warfarin, and therefore these medications are attractive alternatives for physicians. You'll see ads for them in a lot of the trade journals, and obviously they're attractive for patients without the need for frequent blood draws. And because their government approval was for use without monitoring, the companies marketing these drugs did not upfront develop routine methods for monitoring them. So dabigatran, as I mentioned, a direct thrombin inhibitor, was approved by the FDA in 2010 for stroke prophylaxis in non-valvular atrial fibrillation. It's a direct thrombin inhibitor and binds to thrombin with high affinity and specificity, and it's a synthetic analog of essentially a compound that's found in the salivary gland of medicinal leech. So essentially the leech knows what it's doing and make something that directly inhibits thrombin so that it can continue sucking blood, and that we've taken this and made a synthetic analog. Now, of note, one other oral direct thrombin inhibitor has previously been developed called zimeligatran, but that was removed from European markets and was never approved in the U.S. because of liver toxicity. So the two other oral drugs I'm talking about today are the direct factor 10A inhibitors. Those would be rivaroxaban and apixaban. Rivaroxaban was originally approved by the FDA in 2011 and has the most indications. It's approved for stroke prophylaxis and non-valvular atrial fibrillation, for prophylaxis of thrombosis after knee or hip replacement surgery when you're laid up in the hospital, and as well as actually for treatment of a thrombus. So all these other oral medications I'm talking about will be for prophylaxis, but rivaroxaban is also approved for treatment. So it's a direct factor 10A inhibitor and acts by binding both free factor 10A and bound factor 10A that's in the prothrombinase complex. So it's very efficacious. It binds right at the site of where your body is trying to make a clot. Apixaban was approved by the FDA most recently of these three drugs in 2012 for stroke prophylaxis and non-valvular atrial fibrillation. It acts very similarly to rivaroxaban as a direct factor 10A inhibitor. So those are the three new agents that are rapidly increasing in market share. And the introduction of these new oral anticoagulants raises two important issues for the clinical lab. The first being, under what clinical situation should plasma levels of these drugs be measured? And two, how are we going to do that? Because these drugs were designed to be used without monitoring. I mean, there's no currently approved monitoring assay available for these oral anticoagulants. Now, that's not to say that we can't monitor them, but nothing is FDA approved for that purpose. Couple that with, you know, as everyone who works in a hematology or coag lab knows, people want rapid turnaround times. Everyone is operating with, you know, frayed nerves in situations of acute bleeding or thrombosis. And so these requests that we get for monitoring of these new agents are likely to be challenging for clinical labs. and we're left in the difficult position of fielding requests from physicians for a rapidly available clinical assay and needing to develop an in-house method because there's no FDA-approved method out there. And as I'll talk about, there's somewhat limited availability of assays, calibrators, and known therapeutic ranges for these drugs. So essentially, like, if these new oral anticoagulants were approved for use without monitoring, when should we be measuring levels? So surgeons or interventional radiology may want to know if the drug has been cleared before proceeding with a surgery or intervention. In these situations, essentially, we just need a very sensitive test that could detect the presence or absence of the drug. That would be the ideal test. In patients who are bleeding while taking one of these anticoagulants, patients may want to know if the patient is therapeutic or supertherapeutic, and were they taking too much of the drug? And then eventually, they might want to know, has the drug been cleared? If the patient is still bleeding, there might be another cause besides just this drug. And then also, you know, in sort of the opposite situation of that, if the patient develops a thrombosis while taking the drug, the clinician wants to know whether the patient was compliant, whether they were actually taking the drug, and whether the level was therapeutic. So those are, you know, sort of the generic situations when monitoring of one of these agents, although that might be challenging at this point, when it might be helpful to the clinicians. So, you know, as always, when we think about a clinical assay measurement of a drug level or drug effect, you know, we're going to want an assay with an acceptable analytic sensitivity, i.e. a limit of detection, an analytic specificity that it's not measuring other things. We want it to be precise, accurate, and we need appropriate calibrators and a reference or therapeutic range for interpretation. And really, as of yet, these characteristics that we just think about every day with clinical lab tests are lacking for the assays that I'll mention that have sort of been modified to try to measure these oral anticoagulants. So obviously, in a reference lab, we could use, you know, really highly specific assays just to measure the drug concentration, such as LC mass spec, and that has been used for dabigatran. These methods are very specific, but they're not going to be widely accessible to the majority of clinical labs and really just reserved for reference lab testing. Let's talk about what has been reported in the literature, what we potentially could do to measure these new drugs. For dabigatran, the activated partial thromboblastin time can be used to really just estimate the drug effect. The PTT has a curvilinear response to dabigatran and suffers from same interferences we see for, say, heparin monitoring, a patient with a lupus anticoagulant who looks like they have a therapeutic PTT but is, in fact, under anticoagulated because that PTT just has a lot of interference with it. And then the other thing we might think about would be a standard thrombin time to measure dabigatran. It is, in fact, a direct thrombin inhibitor, so perhaps a thrombin time could be used. But the standard thrombin time is too sensitive for direct thrombin inhibitor levels, and the clotting times are routinely above assay linearity at a therapeutic dose. So, you know, those are our sort of go-to standard tests to look at things that are thrombin inhibitors in the lab, that being the PTT and the thrombin time. So we have to sort of get away from our comfort zone to think about some other tests that can be used in the coagulation lab that might be helpful. So the Ekkerin clotting time, the ECT, can be used to measure dabigatran, but it's just not that widely available in most clinical labs. Ekkerin is a metalloprotease isolated from the venom Icus carinatus and is a specific activator of prothrombin. Ekkerin specifically cleaves prothrombin at a particular peptide bond to generate what's known as mesothrombin, which is an intermediate which is proteolytically active. And so what's special about mesothrombin is a sort of in-between form between unactivated thrombin and that being prothrombin and thrombin, is that mesothrombin is inhibited by dabigatran but not by heparin, so it makes it a pretty good test for dabigatran. Essentially, if you don't have that much dabigatran on board, the residual unbound mesothrombin converts fibrinogen to fibrin, and then we can measure that by a clotting time that's inversely proportional to the amount of dabigatran in the sample. And, you know, as always, some of the clotting assays are subject to some interferences, so a modification of the Ekkerin clotting time to use a chromogenic substrate has also been described, and that's the Ekkerin chromogenic assay, the ECA. So both the ECT and the ECA have been evaluated for the measurement of intravenous direct thrombin inhibitors, but remember today we're just talking about the oral forms, which are newer. So the prolongation of the ECT at higher oral direct thrombin inhibitors, i.e. dabigatran concentrations, does become nonlinear, so that the ECT is relatively good at sort of subtherapeutic to the low end of the therapeutic range, but as patients get into higher doses, the ECT becomes nonlinear and not as good of a test. So one of the most accessible assays for dabigatran to most clinical labs is going to be a dilute thrombin time. So it's essentially just a modification of the thrombin time that dilutes the patient's sample before doing the typical thrombin time assay. This modification of the thrombin time has the advantage of using the same reagent as the standard thrombin time. It has a linear response across the dabigatran therapeutic range. It's a speedy test to perform because it's just the same old thrombin time we're used to, just one more step of dilution, and elimination of most of the interferences seen in the activated partial thromboplastin time, and that's due to the sample dilution. So the dilute thrombin time involves diluting the patient plasma anywhere from 1 to 5 to 1 to 20, depending on the assay that you're using, adding thrombin to plasma and measuring the time to clot. Commercial dabigatran calibrators are available, but they're not approved for clinical use in the United States. So you can buy them, but it's going to be a homebrew test. And therapeutic ranges are not available. So the best that you're going to be able to report is sort of typical whether this level that you're measuring matches sort of typical levels during standard therapy that have been seen in certain studies. And observed peak and trough concentrations in patients exposed to therapeutic dosing have been described in one paper that you might want to turn to if you're looking for these peak and trough levels, would be Van Ryn, that's V-A-N-R-Y-N, that was in Thrombosis and Hemostasis in 2010, volume 103. To get back to just overall for monitoring dabigatran, none of these tests are currently FDA approved, specifically for monitoring dabigatran. Many clinical labs out there, particularly some reference labs, are currently implementing either the thrombin time or the Eccrin clotting time for assessment of dabigatran's anticoagulant effect as an in-house lab-developed test. And you know, more specific assays for the dabigatran may be following, but that's essentially, if you're not running LC mass spec, that's essentially the state of the art right now. At least that's been reported in the literature. So to turn to the other new oral anticoagulants, that being the direct factor Xa inhibitors, some people have told me that they think that these will really corner the market and that will take over dabigatran market share, that dabigatran came out first of the new oral anticoagulants, but maybe rivaroxaban and apixaban might be heading to be the to take more a larger percentage of the market share. So the oral direct factor Xa inhibitors, rivaroxaban and apixaban, our standard lab tests, a PTT and a thrombin time, are not ideal assays for monitoring them because the assays have poor sensitivity or poor linearity for measuring these medications. So really what people have been using is a chromogenic anti-Xa assay. These are direct factor Xa inhibitors. We can use a chromogenic anti-Xa assay. And that's the same chromogenic anti-Xa assay that was developed to monitor low molecular weight heparin, and in those patients where PTT is not accurately measuring the heparin, unfractionated heparin, we also use the anti-Xa for heparin. So the chromogenic anti-Xa assay was originally developed for indirect, that being antithrombin-mediated inhibition of factor Xa. That's essentially what heparin does. The heparins and the low molecular weight forms of heparin all interact with antithrombin to inhibit thrombin. So now let's turn our attention to the direct factor Xa inhibitors, that being apixaban and rivaroxaban. So our standard coagulation lab assays, a PT, a PTT, a thrombin time, are not ideal assays for monitoring the direct factor Xa inhibitors because these assays have poor sensitivity or poor linearity for these medications. So what most labs have been using is a modification of the chromogenic anti-Xa assay, and that's the same chromogenic anti-Xa assay that you're going to use to measure low molecular weight heparins, or in those patients who are taking unfractionated heparin who have who for some reason have their PTT is not reflective of their heparin therapeutic dose. That chromogenic anti-Xa assay was originally designed for heparins, which act indirectly to inhibit factor Xa, that is by binding antithrombin and inhibiting factor Xa and thrombin. But these assays are also potentially useful for monitoring these direct factor Xa inhibitors. So, in fact, some anti-Xa assays that are already out there, one being the STA-rhodochrome assay from Stego, already provides rivaroxaban standards. Now, that being said, the target level that you should be looking for rivaroxaban is not well established. You're going to have some standards, but you're not going to know where the patient should necessarily be therapeutically. And these are provided by one company, but there is no international standard material for rivaroxaban as yet. In sum, essentially, we're in better shape for rivaroxaban and apixaban. The chromogenic anti-Xa can readily be modified to monitor these drugs, and it is pretty routinely being used, at least in reference labs, for measuring apixaban and rivaroxaban when it's needed. The dilute thrombin time has been proven to be helpful, but is not quite as routinely offered in essentially the research that I've been doing. So in conclusion, the new oral anticoagulants provide greater ease of use for patients and clinicians for those situations where patients need to be anticoagulated. And, you know, essentially the clinical lab should approach this as it should be fairly uncommon that these drugs need to be monitored. They were approved for use, you know, without monitoring. But in those uncommon situations where the agents do need to be monitored, you know, the clinical lab is going to face some new challenges. And until FDA-approved assays are available, we're going to have to go with lab-developed tests or a reference lab if your lab is not able to bring up or it's not feasible or cost-effective to bring them up in your lab. Current limited data and current practice at many coagulation reference labs is to use the dilute thrombin time to measure dabigatran and a modified anti-10A assay for rivaroxaban and apixaban. And of course, I'm not arguing that everyone should bring these tests up or that they're necessarily the perfect test. And of course, each coagulation lab should investigate their own needs and assay characteristics before deciding to bring up any assay. But this is simply the best that seems to be out there based on the most recent literature. So I want to thank you for your time and for listening to this Lab Medicine podcast. Thank you.